have seen the end and have heard it named. The night of sorrows, the true desolation, the Everstorm.
Collected on the first of names, 1172, 15 seconds pre-death. Subject was a dark-eyed youth of unknown origin.
Shallan had not expected Yasna Kalin to be so beautiful. It was a stately, mature beauty, as one might find in the portrait of some historical scholar. Shallan realized that she'd naively been expecting Yasna to be an ugly spinster, like the stern matrons who had tutored her years ago. How else could one picture a heretic well into her mid-30s and still unmarried? Yasna was nothing like that. She was tall and slender, with clear skin, narrow black eyebrows, and thin, deep onyx hair. She wore part of it up, wrapped around a small, scroll-shaped golden ornament with two long hairpins holding it in place. The rest tumbled down behind her neck in small, tight curls. Even twisted and curled as it was, it came down to Yasna's shoulders. If left unbound, it would be as long as Shallan's hair, reaching past the middle of her back. She had a squarish face and discriminating pale violet eyes. She was listening to a man dressed in robes of burnt orange and white, the Carbranthian royal colors. Brightness Kalin was several fingers taller than the man, apparently. The Alethi reputation for height was no exaggeration. Yasna glanced at Shallan, noting her, then returned to her conversation.
Stormfather, this woman was the sister of a king.
Reserved, statuesque, dressed immaculately in blue and silver. Like Shallan's dress, Yasna's buttoned up the sides and had a high collar, though Yasna had a much fuller chest than Shallan. The skirts were loose below the waist, falling generously to the floor. Her sleeves were long and stately, and the left one was buttoned up to hide her safe hand. On her free hand was a distinctive piece of jewelry, two rings and a bracelet connected by several chains, holding a triangular group of gemstones across the back of the hand. A soul caster. The word was used for both the people who performed the process and the fabriel that made it possible. Shallan edged into the room, trying to get a better look at the large, glowing gemstones. Her heart began to beat a little faster. The soulcaster looked identical to the one she and her brothers had found in the inside pocket of her father's coat. Yasna and the man in robes began walking in Shallan's direction, still talking. How would Yasna react now that her ward had finally caught up to her? Would she be angry because of Shallan's tardiness? Shallan couldn't be blamed for that, but people often expect irrational things from their inferiors. Like the grand cavern outside, this hallway was cut from the rock, but it was more richly furbished, with ornate hanging chandeliers made with stormlight gemstones. Most were deep violet garnets, which were among the less valuable stones. Even so, the sheer number hanging there, glistening with violet light, would make the chandelier worth a small fortune. More than that, however, Shallan was impressed with the symmetry of the design and the beauty of the pattern of crystals hanging at the sides of the chandelier. As Yasna grew near, Shallan could hear some of what she was saying.
That this action might prompt an unfavorable reaction from the devotaries.
She was speaking in Alethi. It was very near to Shallan's native Vaden, and she'd been taught to speak it well during her childhood.
Yes, Brightness.
The robed man was elderly, with a wispy white beard, and had pale gray eyes. His open, kindly face seemed very concerned, and he wore a squat, cylindrical hat that matched the orange and white of his robes. Rich robes. Was this some kind of royal steward, perhaps? No. Those gemstones on his fingers, the way he carried himself, the way other light-eyed attendants deferred to him.
Stormfather! This has to be the king himself. Not Yasna's brother Elokar, but the king of Carpranth, Taravangian.
Shallan hastily performed an appropriate curtsy, which Yasna noted.
The Ardents have much sway here, your majesty.
Oh, as do I. You needn't worry about me.
Very well. Your terms are agreeable. Lead me to the location and I shall see what can be done. If you will excuse me as we walk, however, I have someone to attend to.
Yasna made a curt motion toward Shallan, waving her to join them.
Of course, Brightness.
The king seemed to defer to Yasna. Carbranth was a very small kingdom, just a single city, while Alethkar was one of the world's most powerful. An Alethi princess might well outrank a Carbranthian king in real terms, however protocol would have it. Shallan hurried to catch up to Yasna, who walked a little behind the king as he began to speak to his attendants.
Brightness, I am Shallan Duvar, whom you asked to meet with you. I deeply regret not being able to get to you in Dumedari.
The fault was not yours. I didn't expect that you would make it in time. I wasn't certain where I would be going after Dumedari when I sent you that note, however.
Yasna wasn't angry. That was a good sign. Shallan felt some of her anxiety recede.
I'm impressed by your tenacity, child. I honestly didn't expect you to follow me this far. After Carbranth, I was going to forego leaving you notes, as I'd presumed that you'd have given up. Most do so after the first few stops.
Most? Then it was a test of some sort, and Shallan had passed?
Yes, indeed. Perhaps I will actually allow you to petition for a place as my ward.
Shallan almost stumbled in shock. Petition her? Wasn't that what she had already done?
Brightness, I thought that... your letter...
I gave you leave to meet me, Miss Devar. I did not promise to take you on. The training and care of a ward is a distraction for which I have little tolerance or time at the present. But you have travelled far. I will entertain your request, though understand that my requirements are strict.
Shallan covered a grimace.
No tantrum. That's a good sign.
Tantrum, Brightness? From a light-eyed woman?
You'd be surprised. But attitude alone will not earn your place. Tell me, how extensive is your education?
Extensive in some areas. Extensively lacking in others.
Very well.
Ahead, the king seemed to be in a hurry, but he was old enough that even an urgent walk was still slow.
Then we shall do an evaluation. Answer truthfully and do not exaggerate, as I will soon discover your lies. Feign no false modesty either. I haven't the patience for a simperer.
Yes, Brightness.
We shall begin with music. How would you judge your skill?
I have a good ear, Brightness. I'm best with voice, though I have been trained on the zither and the pipes. I would be far from the best you'd heard, but I'd be far from the worst. I know most historical ballads by heart.
Give me the refrain from Lilting Adrina.
Here?
I'm not fond of repeating myself, child.
Shallan blushed, but began to sing. It wasn't her finest performance, but her tone was pure and she didn't stumble over any of the words.
Good. Languages?
Shallan fumbled for a moment, bringing her attention away from frantically trying to remember the next verse.
Languages? I can speak your native Alethi, obviously. I have a passable reading knowledge of Thalen and good spoken Azish. I can make myself understood in Sili, but not read it.
Yasna made no comment either way. Shallan began to grow nervous.
Writing?
I know all the major, minor, and topical glyphs and can paint them calligraphically.
So can most children.
The glyph wards that I paint are regarded by those who know me as quite impressive.
Glyph wards? I had reason to believe you wanted to be a scholar, not a purveyor of superstitious nonsense.
I have kept a journal since I was a child in order to practice my writing skills.
Congratulations. Should I need someone to write a treatise on their stuffed pony or give an account of an interesting pebble they discovered, I shall send for you. Is there nothing you can offer that shows you have true skill?
With all due respect, Brightness, you have a letter from me yourself, and it was persuasive enough to make you grant me this audience.
A valid point. It took you long enough to make it. How is your training in logic and its related arts?
I am accomplished in basic mathematics, and I often helped with minor accounts from my father. I have read through the complete works of Tormas, Nashon, Niali the Just, and, of course, Noadon.
Placini?
Who? No.
Gabrithin, Eustara, Manaline, Siasik, Shauka, daughter Hazwith?
Shallan cringed and shook her head. That last name was obviously Shin. Did the Shin people even have logic masters? Did Yasna really expect her wards to have studied such obscure texts?
I see. Well, what of history?
History. Shallan shrank down even further.
This is one of the areas where I'm obviously deficient, Brightness. My father was never able to find a suitable tutor for me. I read the history books he owned.
Which were?
The entire set of Barlesha Lan's topics, mostly.
Barely worth the time spent scribing them. A popular survey of historical events, at best.
I apologize, Brightness.
This is an embarrassing hole. History is the most important of the literary subarts. One would think that your parents would have taken specific care in this area if they'd hoped to submit you to study under a historian like myself.
My circumstances are unusual, Brightness.
Ignorance is hardly unusual, Mr. Var. The longer I live, the more I come to realize that it's the natural state of the human mind. There are many who will strive to defend its sanctity and then expect you to be impressed with their efforts.
Shallan blushed again. She'd realized she had some deficiencies, but Yasna had unreasonable expectations. She said nothing, continuing to walk beside the taller woman. How long was this hallway, anyway? She was so flustered she didn't even look at the paintings they passed. They turned a corner, walking deeper into the mountainside.
Well, let us move on to science, then. What can you say of yourself there?
I have the reasonable foundation in the sciences you might expect of a young woman my age.
Which means?
I can speak with skill about geography, geology, physics, and chemistry. I've made particular study of biology and botany, as I was able to pursue them with a reasonable level of independence on my father's estates. But if you expect me to be able to solve Fabazin's conundrum with a wave of my hand, I suspect you shall be disappointed.
Have I not a right to make reasonable demands of my potential students, Miss DeVar?
Reasonable? Your demands are about as reasonable as the ones made of the 10 heralds on Proving Day. With all due respect, Brightness, you seem to want potential wards to be master's scholars already. I may be able to find a pair of 80-year-old Ardents in the city who might fit your requirements. They could interview for the position, though they may have trouble hearing well enough to answer your questions.
I see. And do you speak with such pique to your parents as well?
Shallan winced. Her time spent with the sailors had loosened her tongue far too much. Had she traveled all this way only to offend Yasna? She thought of her brothers, destitute, keeping up a tenuous facade back home. Would she have to return to them in defeat, having squandered this opportunity?
I did not speak to them this way, Brightness. Nor should I to you. I apologize.
Well, at least you are humble enough to admit fault. Still, I am disappointed. How is it that your mother considered you ready for a wardship?
My mother passed away when I was just a child, Brightness.
And your father soon remarried Malise Gevelmar, I believe.
Shallan started at her knowledge. House DeVar was ancient, but only of middling power and importance. The fact that Yasna knew the name of Shallan's stepmother said a lot about her.
My stepmother passed away recently. She didn't send me to be your ward. I took this initiative upon myself.
My condolences. Perhaps you should be with your father, seeing to his estates and comforting him, rather than wasting my time.
The men walking ahead turned down another side passage. Yasna and Shallan followed, entering a smaller corridor with an ornate red and yellow rug, mirrors hanging on the walls. Shallan turned to Yasna.
My father has no need of me. But I have great need of you, as this interview itself has proven. If ignorance galls you so much, can you in good conscience pass up the opportunity to rid me of mine?
I've done so before, Mr. Var. You are the 12th young woman to ask me for a wardship this year.
12? In 1 year?
And she'd assumed that women would stay away from Yasna because of her antagonism toward the devotaries. The group reached the end of the narrow hallway, turning a corner to find, to Shallan's surprise, a place where a large chunk of rock had fallen from the ceiling. A dozen or so attendants stood there, some looking anxious. What was going on? Much of the rubble had evidently been cleared away, though the gouge in the ceiling gaped ominously. It didn't look out on the sky, They had been progressing downward and were probably far underground. A massive stone, taller than a man, had fallen into a doorway on the left. There was no getting past it into the room beyond. The king stepped up to the stone. He pulled a handkerchief out of his pocket and wiped his aged brow.
Dangers of living in a building cut directly into the rock.
Yasna strode forward.
When did this happen?
Apparently, she hadn't been summoned to the city specifically for this purpose. The king was simply taking advantage of her presence.
During the recent high storm, Brightness, the palace architect might be able to cut a way into the room, but it would take time. And the next high storm is scheduled to hit in just a few days. Beyond that, breaking in might bring down more of the ceiling.
I thought Cabranth was protected from the high storms, Your Majesty.
Yasna shot her a glance.
This city is sheltered, young woman, but the stone mountain behind us is buffeted quite strongly. Sometimes it causes avalanches on that side, and that can cause the entire mountainside to shake. Cave-ins are very rare, and we thought this area was quite safe, but...
But it is rock, and there's no telling if a weak vein lurks just beyond the surface. This will be difficult. I will probably lose a very valuable focal stone.
If only we had a shard blade.
I was not seeking to renegotiate our bargain, Your Majesty. Access to the Palinaeum is worth the cost. You will want to send someone for wet rags. Have the majority of the servants move down to the other end of the hallway. You may wish to wait there yourself.
I will stay here. I will not hide like a coward when my granddaughter is trapped.
No wonder he is so anxious.
Yasna didn't argue further, and Shallan could see from her eyes that it was of no consequence to her if the king risked his life. The same, apparently, went for Shallan, for Yasna didn't order her away. Servants approached with wetted cloths and distributed them. Yasna refused hers. The king and his bodyguard raised theirs to their faces, covering mouth and nose. Shallan took hers. What was the point of it? A couple of servants passed some wet cloths through a space between the rock and the wall to those inside. Then, all of the servants rushed away down the hallway. Yasna picked and prodded at the boulder.
Mr. Var, what method would you use to ascertain the mass of this stone?
Well, I suppose I'd ask His Majesty. His architects probably calculated it.
An elegant response. Did they do that, Your Majesty?
Yes, Brightness Colin. It's roughly 15,000 cavils.
Yasna eyed Shallan.
A point in your favor, Mr. Var. A scholar knows not to waste time rediscovering information already known. It's a lesson I sometimes forget.
Shallan felt herself swell at the words. She already had an inkling that Yasna did not give such praise lightly. Did this mean that the woman was still considering her as a ward? Yasna held up her free hand, soul caster glistening against the skin. Shallan felt her heartbeat speed up. She'd never seen soul casting done in person. The Ardens were very secretive in using their fabrials, and she hadn't even known that her father had one until they'd found it on him. Of course, his no longer worked. That was one of the main reasons she was here. The gemstones set into Yasna's soulcaster were enormous, some of the largest that Shallan had ever seen, with many spheres each. One was smokestone, a pure glassy black gemstone. The second was a diamond. The third was a ruby. All three were cut, a cut stone could hold more stormlight, into glistening, many-faceted oval shapes. Yasna closed her eyes, pressing her hand against the fallen boulder. She raised her head. The stones on the back of her hand began to glow more fiercely, the smoke stone in particular growing so bright it was difficult to look at. Shallan held her breath. The only thing she dared do was blink, committing the scene to memory. For a long, extended moment, nothing happened. Yasna's hand sank into the rock. The stone vanished. A burst of dense black smoke exploded into the hallway, enough to blind Shallan. It seemed the output of a thousand fires and smelled of burned wood. Shallan hastily raised the wet rag to her face, dropping to her knees. Oddly, her ears felt stopped up, as if she'd climbed down from a great height. She had to swallow to pop them. She shut her eyes tightly as they began to water, and she held her breath. It passed. She blinked open her eyes to find the king and his bodyguard huddled against the wall beside her. Smoke still pooled at the ceiling. The hallway smelled strongly of it. Yasna stood, eyes still closed, oblivious of the smoke. The grime now dusted her face and clothing. It had left marks on the walls, too. Shallan had read of this, but she was still in awe. Yasna had transformed the boulder into smoke. And since smoke was far less dense than stone, the change had pushed the smoke away in an explosive outburst. It was true. Yasna really did have a functioning soulcaster, and a powerful one, too. 9 out of 10 soulcasters were capable of a few limited transformations, creating water or grain from stone, forming bland, single-roomed rock buildings out of air or cloth. A greater one, like Yasna's, could effectuate any transformation, literally turn any substance into any other one. How it must grate on the Ardents that such a powerful holy relic was in the hands of someone outside the Ardentia, and a heretic, no less. Shallan stumbled to her feet, leaving the cloth at her mouth, breathing humid but dust-free air. She swallowed, her ears popping again as the hall's pressure returned to normal. A moment later, the king rushed into the now accessible room. A small girl, along with several nursemaids and other palace servants, sat on the other side. The king pulled the girl into his arms. She was too young to have a modesty sleeve. Yasna opened her eyes, blinking as if momentarily confused by her location. She actually smiled, as if enjoying the scent of the smoke. Yasna turned to Shallan, focusing on her.
You're still waiting for a response? I'm afraid you will not like what I say.
But you haven't finished your testing of me yet. Surely you won't give judgment until you have.
I haven't finished.
You didn't ask me about all of the feminine arts. You left out painting and drawing.
I've never had much use for them.
But they are of the arts. Many consider the visual arts the most refined of them all. I brought my portfolio. I would show you what I could do.
The visual arts are frivolity. I have weighed the facts, child, and I cannot accept you. I'm sorry.
Shallan's heart sank.
Your Majesty, I would like to go to the Palinaeum.
Now? But we are going to have a feast.
I appreciate the offer, but I find myself with an abundance of everything but time.
Of course. I will take you personally. Thank you for what you've done. When I heard that you had requested...
The king continued to babble at Yasna, who followed him wordlessly down the hallway, leaving Shallan behind. Shallan clutched her satchel to her chest, lowering the cloth from her mouth. 6 months of chasing. For this. She gripped the rag in frustration, squeezing sooty water between her fingers. She wanted to cry. That was what she probably would have done if she'd been the same child she had been 6 months ago. But things had changed. She had changed. If she failed, House Devar would fall. Shallan felt her determination redouble, though she wasn't able to stop a few tears of frustration from squeezing out the corners of her eyes. She was not going to give up until Yasna was forced to truss her up in chains and have the authorities drag her away. Her step, surprisingly firm, she walked in the direction Yasna had gone. 6 months ago, she had explained a desperate plan to her brothers. She would apprentice herself to Yasna Kolin, scholar, heretic. Not for the education, not for the prestige, but in order to learn where she kept her soulcaster. And then, Shallan would steal it.